want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. I want you to know halftime's over. And now we are halfway through the year, and it is time. You know, I have watched a lot of football games in my lifetime, and I have seen my team dominate in the first half, and all of a sudden go into halftime, and I don't know halftime, but come out in the second half, and two entirely different teams come out and say, wait a minute, what is going on here? So anyway, I just want to encourage you, if the first half of this year has been a rough one, you've entered the second half, and let's make it victorious. Maybe this will be the latter part of the year will be the comeback that the devil doesn't want you to have. My name is Bob Arthurs. You're listening to the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. And this is a program, the Refresh Radio program. It's brought to you by the saints at Merritt Assembly of God, the fine folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 321-632-9538. Also help to make this program a reality. They are a company that has been a big-time blessing to Merritt Assembly of God, as well as the body of Christ. They serve. Listen, they do not just have a business and they're Christians. They are very active in the church. Dennis has actually been an interim pastor before. They serve in many different ministries at the church that they go to, and we are thankful for them. And if you need somebody to solve an electrical problem or an air conditioning problem, this time of year probably more air conditioning than electrical, I would say, but either one, give them a call, 321-632-9538, and they will come and get you fixed up. They'll get you on the schedule. They travel all the way through Brevard County from the southernmost tip to the northern tip, from the shore to the western boundary. They specialize in all types of air conditioning units, from package units to traditional condensing units and air handlers to the mini split systems to you name it, they've got it. They can help you out. So give them a call, 321-632-9538. You may not be the only one calling right now. And so do exercise the fruit of the spirit of patience, and they will come out, deal with you with honesty, with excellence, and with integrity, and get you cool again as soon as possible. So if you do call them at 632-9538, tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program, and that would be wonderfully appreciated. This week, we do not have service on Wednesday night. We are taking kids to camp. We are going to be going and coming and going and coming. And so we will not be night. Our next service will be Sunday morning. Sunday school at 9:30, worship service at 10:30. And we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. So right now we are in Romans chapter 8. We're looking at what life, a life of deliverance looks like. We went all the way through 7, or Romans chapter 7, to show the frustration that was building up in Paul that manifests in verse number 24. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So on Friday's program, we talked about there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that those who are in Christ Jesus do not walk according to the flesh or according to the law of the flesh, but according to the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which has delivered us from the law of sin and death. So we're going to start reading in chapter 8, verse 1, and we're going to go down to verse number 8 today. And it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So we talked about on Friday's broadcast that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had delivered us, liberated us, made us free from the law of sin and death. Now we're going to see that in verse number 3, that what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. See, the law could never reconcile us back to God. Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets. The law always shows us our inadequacies. It shows us where we are out of alignment. It shows us where we are in error. It shows us where we are negligent. It shows us where we are violators. Okay? Jesus came. God sent his Son so that we could be liberated from the law of sin and death, showing us what we couldn't do. Now he has brought this law of the Spirit of life to us to show us what we can do. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, if you told me that I couldn't do something, say, don't touch the stove, it's hot. How many of you could raise your hand and say, yeah, I probably responded the same way that you did, because I would reach up there and say, yep, that's hot. And my mother would be there. I told you it was hot. I told you not to touch it. Okay. Now, just because it's Monday and because we're real, how many of you have ever been to a restaurant and the server came to your table bringing you your entree and they said this, now be careful, this plate is hot, and they're handing it to you with special pads or gloves or whatever it might be on to you know, interfere with the transference of heat from the plate to their skin. And without even thinking about it, you reach up to position that plate, and then all of a sudden you pull your hand back because you're like, yep, that sure is. It's awful hot. And so we think that we would learn some things from time to time, but I think we just make the same mistake in different forms as we go along. So Jesus coming was to change the jurisdiction or the law of the jurisdiction that we were living under. He transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God's only begotten Son. Different kingdoms, different laws. So look at what it says there. He condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh. So if you remember on Friday's program, we had said there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because Jesus took the condemnation for us to the cross. He was condemned. I went and looked up the word condemnation. Let me see if I can find that for you here. A condemnation is an adverse sentence. It means to condemn. There is another word that we won't mention here on the radio, but you hear that word mentioned a lot as people are going about through their unregenerate day, where they will use a word that rhymes with a word that talks about what beavers construct. But that's what we're talking about. We're talking about an eternal separation from God. That's the what condemnation means. It's a hopeless situation. And I will tell you this, that when God makes a judgment, his judgment is never in error. It's never partially right. It is always completely and totally true and just. Jesus did not go to the cross so that I could continue to live under the same sin that I used to live under. He came to condemn that sin so it no longer had power over me. Okay? Now, here is what I have found in this walk with God that I've had for a great number of decades, is that when God tells me yes to doing something and it lines up with his word, then there's not anybody who has the authority to convince me that the answer should have been no instead of God's yes. Okay. Now, conversely, when God tells me, no, don't do this, this is displeasing in my sight, I don't want you to have any part of it, that when God tells me no, I need to have the same resolve and the same response to anybody who tries to convince me. Yes, we have this tremendous social upheaval that is going on right now, and they're trying to twist and contort and distort the word of God to make what the Bible describes as sin and a relationship with God compatible. And folks, I don't care which one of the sins it might be. The truth of the matter is, Jesus came to break the power of sin and death in your life and in my life, your temptation and my temptation. I'm not here to ask forgiveness for mine and condemnation for yours. I'm not here to ask for forgiveness for yours and condemnation for mine. I'm not here to say, okay, well, neither one of us are affected by this, so it must be okay, but that over there is horrible. I'm here to tell you that God is not going to justify sin, period. Justification is what he does for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, where we get to stand before him. He's going to present us to himself without spot, without wrinkle, and blameless, without flaw. He is in the perfecting process. Okay? That's really what he does. He condemned sin in the flesh for a purpose. Verse number 4. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's the exact same phraseology that we find in verse number 1, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So if we did not want condemnation back there, and God doesn't want us walking according to the flesh, and he wants us to walk according to the Spirit, it says here, so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Let me say that again. So that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. walking according to the Spirit. Walking according to the Spirit is going to reflect right standing before God. We don't want anything affecting that right standing before God. Okay? You might be driving down the road and all of a sudden a law enforcement official ends up right behind you. If you are like 99% of the people, before you even look at the speed you are going to be traveling, your response is going to be to take your foot off the accelerator a little bit just to make sure that you're not. Because we have a predisposition to find ourselves out of compliance if we're not careful. We have to be intentional about our walk with God. God wants us walking according to the Spirit and walking in righteousness. Okay? Walking according to the Spirit is no excuse for living in unrighteousness. Okay? If I can, let me just be real for a minute, okay? A lot of times, people who claim to be walking according to the Spirit, how do I want to say this without offending people? Sometimes we're not very nice. Sometimes we can be used by the Spirit in a church service and walk out into the community and not represent Jesus very well at all. And I will tell you that those things ought not to be. We are supposed to operate in that spirit of love that God operates in us with. And that does not mean that we are condoning, that we are endorsing, or blessing people who are living according to the law of sin and death. Okay? A lifestyle of sin and death is a lifestyle of sin and death, no matter what I say about it. It's what God says about it. So whenever God comes in, he says, look, if you're going to walk according to the Spirit, you're going to walk in a manifestation that reflects the right standing you have before me, that you are forgiven, that you are cleansed, that you are empowered, that you're operating in love, you're operating in truth, you're operating in integrity. I had a situation that where I was on the phone with someone here not too long ago, and they said, well, I was talking to someone, and they, well, let me just put it to you this way. They were wanting me to operate in a manner that was not 100% upright. It would have worked out to my financial advantage to, you know, do what they said, but it wasn't the, as they say in a court of law, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And my response was this: I would rather suffer a financial loss than operate in a manner that was not 100% upright. That's what I told them. And I think that maybe our testimony before God and before our community would be a lot more powerful if people realized that our right standing before God is not negotiable and it's not worth compromising for. Okay? You know, the Bible talks about, you know, why do you go to court with other believers before unbelievers, it would be better to be wronged than to discredit the testimony in a public manner like that. And so for me, I don't want to do that. I want to walk in integrity. I want to walk according to the Spirit. Verse number 5 says that for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I want to ask you, what are you thinking about today? What are you thinking about? If you live according to the flesh, you are going to be thinking about carnal things. If you live according to the Spirit, you are going to be thinking about spiritual things. I'm constantly saying, okay, God, what do you want me to share on the radio broadcast? A delivered person thinks differently. A liberated person thinks differently. You know, I've been told through the years that people who lived through the Depression, people who came up and didn't have much, and they learned to find value in little bitty things, that it can be very difficult at times for them to let go of anything because of where they came from. They came from a life of hardship, and so they're constantly looking for, you know, something that could be of value in a very trying time. A friend of mine had purchased a house one time, and a family member came over, and they were seeing this house, and it was like nothing that family had experienced before. And there's this huge screened in pool area, and this family member said, "Well, you know, if you ever fall on hard times, you can at least scrap the aluminum on the back porch there." And they were having a mindset from where they had come from. You and I, we cannot be looking for ways to accommodate the flesh as a new believer. We're supposed to be thinking about the things of the Spirit. Does that mean that we don't think about the groceries and the cars and anything like that? Absolutely not. We are called to take care of our family members. We are called to be effective, but we aren't attached to those things. My cars are my tools. You know, they can be used to run errands for the church. They can be used to bless people with. I've given away, I don't know how many different cars through the years. Some of them were worth driving a while, and some of them weren't. We'd just give them away to people, and instead of taking them down to the scrapyard ourselves, we'd give it to them, and they could put some work on it, and it'd be a blessing in their life. But it has to do with the way that you think. Go throughout the day. You see, if you have a spiritual mindset, then when you go to work, you're going to go with this mindset. How can I bring glory to God while I'm at work today? Okay, I think that it ought to show in your punctuality. I think that a spiritual mindset will show up in your work ethic. I think your spiritual mindset will show up with integrity, with effort, with anointing, with creative ideas. It's not that you're so spiritually minded that you're no earthly good. Exactly the opposite, that your mind is being directed by the Holy Spirit in such a way that you are of greater benefit to your family, to your church, your community, your workplace than you've ever been before, because now you're operating with the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of life. You are a life giver because Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, is living inside of you. Live according to that. It is a complete renewal of the mind. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Okay, I will tell you this, not an absence of conflict. Peace is a wholeness. It's the shalom of God. It means that Jesus Christ has permeated the entire nature of your being, that you realize that you are whole, that you are sound, that there is integrity in body, soul, spirit, finances, relationships. Okay? You're operating from a healthy place instead of a broken place. And it has to do with the way that we think. A person told me one time that says, I only know one way to think. I only know the way to think like I think. How do you think differently? And I will tell you that if you want to think differently, you've got to realize that the carnal mind was hostile towards God, the spiritual mind, the renewed mind, the mind that Jesus Christ has worked to make a sound mind in us, it doesn't look at God as a hostile force. It looks at God as a desirable relationship, as a benefactor in our life, that having a relationship with God is essential and beneficial. And it goes on and says this, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We need a full-fledged mind renewal so that we do not think like slaves. You know, when the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt, they had been delivered from Egypt, but they still thought the way that they did when they were in Egypt. It took a different mindset for them to get into the promised land. If the Spirit dwells inside of us, it says that, verse number 11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. You and I, if we're going to walk according to the Spirit instead of the law of sin and death, the Spirit of God is going to do a work inside of us that you would have never believed had someone told you. I believe that the Spirit of God wants to accomplish great things in your life, that your testimony is going to be powerfully used by God to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about bringing glory to God. Let's not be carnally minded. Let's be spiritually minded and see others impacted for the glory of God. I pray that you have a blessed day, and that you walk in accordance with the Word of God, and we will see you next time right here on the Refresh Radio Broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
This is how it feels when I know the man that I say I am is not the man.